There's no furniture of any kind, no bed, table, chair, two mattresses on the ground, two prisoners squatting or lying or kneeling on the mattresses or on the floor, barefooted. And what really got me, I think, more than anything else, was the stench of the place. The walls are smeared with dirty smears of rotten food and what seemed to me very like human excrement in some cases anyhow. The whole atmosphere is so heavy. It's really so forbidding that in a couple of cases I was almost overcome. I felt very like vomiting. In one case I had to stop talking, otherwise I was going to vomit.
This is Sick and Wrong, the world's source for antisocial commentary, brought to you by AdamandEve.com.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world's source for antisocial commentary. I'm your host, E. Simon.
Hi, I'm Kate Rambo. Hiya.
Kate Rambo.
Yes?
Have you ever cared about anything enough to actually go out and protest for that thing?
No. I got better things to do with my time.
So you've never once been to a protest? You never attended a protest?
I tend to think that the majority of people who attend protests are kind of cunts anyways. And I don't want to be part of that. Like, I've just got better things to do in my time.
But they're principled. They have feelings.
Oh, whatever. Like, we all have our fucking principles.
They're drawing attention to a cause.
So I can keep it to my fucking self. And you know what? Half the time that people are protesting things turns out to be fine anyways. Like, the people who protest, like, nuclear power. There's fucking nothing wrong with nuclear power. Like, fuck you.
Well, I think there are some things wrong with nuclear power.
It's better than coal.
But the thing is, you're exercising your freedom of speech.
Yeah, but I can do that inside my house. Without being surrounded by a bunch of other unwashed hippies. Like, I just want to be by myself. I don't want to be joining things. David, I'm not a joiner. I'm a loner. I'm a rebel. Dottie.
See, I'm Gen X. Uh-huh. I've never given enough of a shit about anything.
What you fucking talk about? It was you guys who were all out fucking for Vietnam and stuff, wasn't it? Isn't that Gen X?
That was before us.
Is that the boomers?
Yeah. We don't give a shit. I mean, the boomers were hippies.
Yeah.
Gen X was just kind of like, we don't give a shit about anything but ourselves and drugs.
Well, millennials are the same. Because millennials, I don't know any fucking millennials who were out there protesting. Like, in Britain, I don't know any of us who were
millennials
out there protesting
are out there,
the Iraq War.
Well, millennials are definitely protesting now. I mean, I've attended several protests, primarily for the spectacle and to pick up women with principles. You know? I mean, that's the thing. Principled women, they get the best blowjobs because they do it with meaning.
Oh, right. So what are you saying about my blowjobs? Thank you.
Yeah, principles.
That was a subtle dig. I do have principles, but again, I'm happy to get on my soapbox at home. I say this as I'm like broadcasting my voice across to other people saying I don't have principles. But yes, I do. But I don't need to be around like 2,000 other people, like all like chanting something. Like, that's not, I'm not a joiner.
I'm not against people protesting. In fact, I encourage it. And I do enjoy attending it, or at least watching it. For the spectacle. I mean, for the lulz. You know, I went to one of the first protests I ever went to was a protest against the KKK in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Yeah. So I was in college and the KKK were coming to speak on the campus. And if you think about it, that is some chutzpah right there. You got balls to come to a very liberal, like a liberal community, and then just speak your race, you know, your racist garbage.
Did they wear their hoods and stuff?
Oh, yeah. They were fully costumed in their little sheets and all cosplayed out. And so we went, I thought, you know, this would be interesting just to go check it out.
I would be intrigued to hear what they were saying, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to see what was going to happen because I heard like there are a lot of friends of mine that were kind of like anarcho-punks and hippies and things like that. They were just like, fuck that. We're not going to allow the KKK to speak. Which if you think about it, it's just like, well, that's rather fascist of you.
Yeah, you should let them speak.
Because it's still freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And so we ended up going down there and just to go look at it. And sure enough, I mean, there was like, it was a riot. It turned into a major protest. All these like anarcho hippies, Burning Man types, and actual hippies started throwing fruit and bottles at them. And they were behind like It looked like a chicken wire kind of wall that they set up.
Like in the Blues Brothers when they're playing in the bar.
Or Roadhouse.
Yeah.
In Roadhouse. So they're behind like a barrier and the cops are out there, but the cops couldn't even control them. It was just like a mob of just hippies and, you know, anarcho-punks just like throwing Antifa types, throwing just shit at these like KKK and screaming at them and screaming over them while they were trying to speak. And eventually, I think they did shut it down. But I remember like the cops, I think the National Guard was there. Not the whole thing, but there was like the Michigan's version or Michigan's portion of the National Guard.
Well, see, I'd be scared of the National Guard because we all know what they do on college campuses. Well, flashback to Ken.
Well, we were just standing there. I remember at one point, my friend Christy, we had dinner with about a week ago.
Oh, my sister, Christy.
Yeah, we were standing there, and then like this big tear gas canister just fell in front of us, and we weren't even protesting or doing anything, but we all just got, you know, hit by tear gas.
See, that's another side effect of going to like any form of protest that could happen. And like, I just don't ever want to be near the police or involved near the police, or I don't want to be in those types of violent situations. I am a Victorian woman. I just want to sit at home reading letters, writing letters next to a hearth, and just have my cats and my menagerie of animals surrounding me. I don't need to be amongst people. Like, I don't at any point.
I went to the Iraq war protest.
Oh, another pointless one. Oh, what? Because the people will stop the war. As if. Come on.
People are upset and they're protesting against Bush and the government's decision to go to war in Iraq. And I remember I went there. That was a fun one. I got laid twice.
Oh,
at that.
Did yeah, they be, well, all no, have I hairy met
two
pussies.
I met two girls. No, they're hot. There were tons of liberal San Francisco girls.
Yeah, with hairy pussies and hairy underarms. Although they're usually the same.
They were trimmed to my memory. They were, if I remember correctly, they were trimmed. At least I don't think there it was like a wolf pussy situation. but yeah, I met like two girls, got phone numbers, ended up getting laid twice. Great place to go. Score some. You know what the best one was, even though I was with a girlfriend at the time? The Women's March in 2017.
See, yeah, that's like something, again, I encourage that. And like, if you want to go out and march for women or march for sex workers, I'm 100% behind you. I just don't need to participate. I will do it from my couch. And maybe, like, you know, I don't like ever get political on Instagram. Maybe I'll retweet one thing. You know, that'll be it. That'll be me supporting you.
I put on my pink pussy hat. I was like out there. You know, I was with my girlfriend, but she hung out with a lot of hot girls. So I was like, you know, hey, I'm for the cause. All right.
Yeah. All
Here,
right.
Look at my hat. Now, can I get your number? Here's
all
my
right,
Instagram.
Kurt Cobain. I'm a feminist.
The one I went to that actually almost had harmful consequences for me is I went to Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
downtown LA. Talk about another feckless protest.
They're all feckless.
Yeah, they all are. But this one was in particularly just a pointless, like the leadership wasn't even there. I don't even know what happened to all the money they raised. It was just such a pointless endeavor. But we went, I was living, I just moved here. This is like probably 2010, 2011. I just moved here and I was living downtown. And this guy down the hall from me, it was the boyfriend of one of my girlfriend at the time. It was her friend's boyfriend. And he was like, I'm going to go down to Occupy Wall Street. You want to go check it out? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And so we go down there to go check it out. And yeah, there's all these hippies and they're filthy. And they've been out there for a couple months at this point, camping in front of City Hall in their like filthy tents and like chanting and singing. And then the cops came out like LAPD, like full stormtrooper gear.
Fuck yeah.
And just tore it all down. But unfortunately, we were taking pictures because I was going to talk about it on the podcast. And the next thing you know, the cops were like, yeah, you can't leave. You're going downtown. And I was like, whoa.
I'd be
journalists,
like, firstly,
media.
Firstly, you know, I'm already downtown, copper, if you want to get technical
about
it.
Well, I was
it.
Worried because they were going to like zip tie us to some of these like Burning Man dirty hippies.
Yeah, that's gross.
And we were going to have to go to like, they had like a makeshift kind of jail at LA, the Dodger Stadium. And I was like, dude, I am media. And so then I was kind of like getting freaked out. And so I grabbed the other dude I was with. I was like, he was like, let's go check out the other side. We went to the other side and there was a CNN journalist that was like fighting with him. They were trying to grab his camera. And we just kind of snuck out with them.
Yeah, good.
Almost arrested. That would have been terrible. That would have been terrible. I'd have had to call my brother to get $5,000 to bail me out.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, that would have sucked.
Why were you arrested? Tell us your arrest story. It's not like you're Patty Hearst, who has the coolest arrest story ever.
I was also just like, I am not with them. I am documenting this.
I do not smell, Mr. Policeman.
I even put my pink pussy hat on. I was just like, I'm for women's rights.
To jail. It's the LAPD.
Well, anyway, the reason we're talking about protests is because universities across the country, and I think even some in Europe, are currently having massive protests against the Israel-Hamas war. And there's been clashes between the police and demonstrators on these campuses. I know I saw in UCLA has a massive demonstration right now, people camping out. And the cops are there trying to, like, we're arresting people. Like, 100 people got arrested today.
Yeah, good. Good for the, and there's like, finally good for the
there's
police.
There's, like, the, you know, the pro-Hamas, you know, pro-Palestinian protesters. And then there's the pro-Israel protesters, the counter-protesters, and there's clashes. It's chaos. And so, you know, I understand what they're doing. I mean, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is worsening every day. And so protesters, universities across the country are demanding that schools cut financial ties to Israel, divest from any companies that they think are enabling the conflict. And, you know, they set up these encampments from, you know, across the country, California to, like, Massachusetts.
What's absolutely delusional of all these people who are calling, who are doing this, it's like, you do understand that your universities, your professors, from as soon, the moment they were set up, were pretty much probably funded by a lot of Jewish income.
Well, I'm sure so there's a lot of Jewish donors, but there's a lot of Middle Eastern donors.
Yeah, but like, are you telling me that Harvard, Yale, Columbia all weren't set up with some Jewish money donations? So are we going to, what, demolish these buildings? It's so anti-Semitic. No, it's unreal.
They're not demolishing the campus buildings.
No, but is that what they're asking for?
No,
they're saying stop funding.
From they want to divest from companies that support Israel.
Their entire education has been provided to them by Jewish income.
Not just Jewish income. You know, you would be surprised at how much money comes from Qatar to Yale and to Harvard. So there's a lot of money coming in from different sources. I mean, sure, I'm sure there's very wealthy Jewish donors. There are very wealthy
Jewish
donors.
Well, not at the minute. Because if I was one of them.
They've been upset about it.
I would pull my money out because it's very anti-Semitic what they are doing.
But then again, I think there is an anti-Semitic element, but there's also a lot of students who are trying to draw attention to this humanitarian crisis, and they're doing it the only way they know how. They're protesting. They're exercising their free speech.
Well, why aren't they drawing a humanitarian crisis to the Sudan or to Congo? Why does Palestine matter so much to them?
Well, I think that's kind of the hot button topic of the day right now. And I think, obviously, well, I mean, it's all over social media, and I think but at the same time, the U.S. is directly funding this war. So
the U.S.
think,
puts a lot of money into lots of humanitarian causes around the world. It doesn't necessarily matter. It's just, it's because a lot of them, they don't even know what they're protesting. A lot of them. I sound like such an old, like, 1970s
I know, and I disagree.
Sad.
I think a lot of them do. I watch these Instagram posts. I think a lot of them do know exactly what they're protesting. And the U.S., it's their tax dollars are going to fund weapons that are being...
Not their tax dollars. They're not paying any fucking
tax. Yeah, they pay
taxes.
No, they're over 18. You have to pay taxes.
Yeah, but they're fucking kids. They're not paying real tax.
Their parents' tax dollars. It's like our tax dollars are going to pay to fund this war. And so whether you like it or not, that's why they're protesting. And I understand their voices do deserve to be heard. I do think there are anti-Semitic elements that are coming out that are at work here. But I mean, at the heart of it, students are allowed to protest.
This is what I don't understand.
This is what this country has been founded on.
I have never, ever cared about something that's happening half the world away. Like, you just can't. It's just not in my nature.
Well, but
to
you said you wouldn't give a shit about any protest. So this,
I wouldn't give a shit about this, but I'm also not so fired up by about countries I've never been to and will never go to. So, like, why would I care?
Some of these kids do have friends that are Palestinian, friends that are Arabic. Maybe some of these kids have actually been to this area. A lot of these kids are Israeli, so they're fired up about it too. I mean, I think there's a connection to it, and I do think they should be allowed to protest.
But not for this long. I think it's like what I admire about the French is, like, you know, they'll protest because it's Tuesday and they'll go out, they'll do their demonstration. But then at the end of the day, they go home and they get into their nice, comfortable French beds. it shouldn't be allowed to go on for this long. It should be a case of, yes, you can protest, you can get on your soapbox.
God, you're such a fascist. You want to just shut it down? Want to get the cops to come in here with their
billy
clubs?
But the cops are coming in.
They've stopped some of them.
I'm saying it should be like from 8, it should be like a speaker's corner in fucking London from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. when the sun is up.
You're so British. No, it shouldn't
be. You can have your right
like,
to speak.
You should protest as long as you want to. Or you're going to get arrested. And I think that's kind of the case here. They want to be heard. They want their demands met. So they're sitting there protesting.
The demands
until
are never
going
to be met. It's like their
you
demands
never know,
are insane.
Actually. Demands are met after they were comparing this to Vietnam, what the hippies did in 1969.
Please.
And the country did learn from this. And the country changed. It affected change.
Vietnam was a bit fucking different, mate. Like,
I mean,
it was.
Sure, there was a draft and it was a war that we were directly involved with. But I mean, I can understand their anger. I can understand why they're protesting.
I don't understand. I can understand, like, yeah, if your family is from that area, be it your family are Palestinian or Israeli, yeah, you have every right to be upset. But these people who are at these protests, they don't look very Israeli to me, and they don't look very Palestinian to me.
Yeah, but you don't know their background. You don't know their background. You don't know what connection. They might have Palestinian friends, Palestinian students, or you know, Arabic friends. It's like, I can understand why they'd be upset about this and that they've been drawn to this cause. Makes sense to me. Whether
I just
or
think
not
get a better hobby.
Camping in the university common areas or I'm making a campground out of a university, I don't know how effective that will be. I mean, Columbia is where it pretty much started. That's been the epicenter of this all. More than 100 students were arrested. A lot of them were released without any charges. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said police officers were hit with bottles and other objects at some of the week's protests. Emory University in Atlanta and the University of Texas had said that a lot of people that were attending these protests weren't all students of the university. So I think you've had some outside agitators that have come there. I mean, I think that should be controlled. But yeah, I mean, it's been difficult for, college administration officials because they're like, I don't know what to do here. We want at one, it's almost they're at a crossroads. It's like at one point we do want these kids to be able to protest. It's freedom of speech. At the same time, you know, they're disrupting the university.
That was going to be my next point. What if you're somebody like me who's like, shit, finals are coming up. I've really got to study. I've got to knuckle down. I want to get to the library. And you fucking can't because there's some cunt who's been camping in their tent who is going to fail this year because they haven't been studying. And they're blocking your access to your services that you are paying for. I would be writing such a screed.
Well,
to the
that's
college,
the thing.
HR.
I do wonder if a lot of these students are going to be able to sue the universities, get their tuition back.
I hope some of them do. It shouldn't be allowed.
USC
to go on.
Canceled their graduation, the commencement ceremony.
And that sucks for everyone who's worked really fucking hard.
Yeah. So I wonder if there's going to be some lawsuits that come out of this. A lot of universities just said, we're going to be virtual. You're going to be online. You're not going to have actually any in person classes. But the tent encampments, you know, across the country, they're not going anywhere. So even though, you know, the school year is about to end, like in a couple weeks, I guess these students are planning to just kind of stick it out.
They won't, because once the attention leaves,
continue to stay there till they get their demands met. And
once
universities
the attention
cut
leaves,
financial ties to Israel,
they will leave.
They're disrupting some graduation plans. They forced classes to move online, but I don't think their demands are going to be met. I don't think it's enough what they're trying to do. I mean, I just don't think these protests are going to make the impact that they hope it will, you know, that it will.
I think they should amp it up a notch as well.
Exactly.
Bring
and
in some
and
tanks.
Once the school year comes to the end, you know, when people aren't attending classes, I don't think there's going to be as much visibility to their cause. I mean, what are they going to camp out all summer? I just don't think these protests are making the impact that they hope that they would. And as the school year comes to the end, there's going to be less of an impact. I mean, I don't know if they're going to stick it out all summer, but even if they do, it's not going to draw as much attention. They need to take action now, because right now, the media is on the protests. It's on every time you go to any website, news website, it's probably one of the first articles about what's going on in these protests. They need to take it to the next level. They need to make this protest dirty.
Guns.
Not guns. I think what they need to do is they need to look back on history and take a lesson from the IRA. They need to make this dirty. Because think about it. They're camping out on a university ground. Where's the porta potties? There's no porta potties.
No, they're all shitting in their tents, like the homeless do.
I doubt they have access to uni toilets.
Well, that was the first thing I would do as uni admin. I would be like, none
shut
of
down
you,
the toilets.
None of
yeah.
you can use any of like.
Like, the if
toilets.
You're going to be camping out here, you don't get, you know,
you don't get privileges,
the benefits or privileges I'd of be being
like,
a student.
It's like you're really in the wild, and you all have to put your food in bear traps and put it up in the trees at night.
But where are they making bears?
In the tents? Mingers.
So that, exactly. So they have a massive supply of feces that they can weaponize for their cause.
Like chimps.
No, like the Irish prisoners that were held in the maze in the Armagh women's prison in Northern Ireland in the 1970s and 80s. They turned their ineffective milquetoast clean protest into a dirty protest. And by doing so, they forced change.
Can I just say, one of my biggest problems with the Planet of the Apes movies is the fact that none of the chimps ever weaponize their feces, which we all know is the number one weapon of a chimp.
Well, it's because they became intelligent. They didn't need to anymore.
Oh, no, they still have chimpdom inside of them. You can draw eyebrows on like Helena Bonham Carter chimp all you like. She's still a chimp and she could still fling her shit at you.
I think the point of the movie is that they became intelligent, so they no longer need to resort to that.
No.
But in this situation, I think it's an effective way to protest. If they want to force change, if they're that serious about getting their schools to divest from Israel and to abolish any ties that they have to Israeli companies, they're going to have to kick it up a notch. You only have a couple weeks left. Let's make this into a dirty protest. So before we get into discussing the dirty protest of Ireland and how you do a dirty protest in general, let's chat about something a bit dirtier than an Irishman covered in his own excrement, the Sick and Wrong patron.
Yes.
So if you listen to the show every week and you genuinely appreciate this podcast, then all we ask is for you to sign up for the patron or Apple Podcasts and just support the show. Do your part to keep the show going. We're all a community here. So $5 a month, that's it. $5 a month and you get access to Sick and Wrong's second show on the patron. This week on Second Show, we chat about, I was visiting some former coworkers in Long Beach. So I was catching up with some friends and they told me about a coworker that I worked with only for a few months when I first started, but they told me that he was brutally murdered.
Yes, his name was Nick Carter.
And his name was Nick Carter.
But he's not the Nick Carter, but
very confusing, though, because you might think it's the guy from the Backstreet Boys, but it's not.
We're going to say it's the real Nick Carter.
You're going to have to listen to the second show to really find out the connection there. We also chat about catch up what's been going on in our lives. We talk a lot about funerals.
Yeah, for some reason,
putting
you love
the fun
in
funerals.
You love a funeral.
I enjoy a funeral. I got to say, I prefer a funeral to a wedding.
Okay, that's very odd. Even though I love death, I just won't go to funerals.
I would choose a funeral to a wedding. But you can find out about all of that on the Sick and Wrong second show. $5 a month, you get access to Sick and Wrong and Patreon and the official Discord. You don't even need to actually sign up for Patreon these days. You can just go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to second show that way. A couple different methods here to support the show. I also posted the archives on Apple Podcasts as well. So just do a search for Sick and Wrong Podcast and you can subscribe to the archives. Patreon.com/sickandwrong. Support the show. We do appreciate it. So let me play this quick promo and then let's learn how to make your protest dirty. Hey, Sick and Wrong listeners. If you're not currently a Sick and Wrong patron, you might be missing out on special moments like this one.
I used to write letters to like my I used to write letters to like Motley Crue and like
and Poison. I used to write letters to
Tommy
all the
Lee.
Bands
I
liked.
I don't remember exactly who I was writing it to.
Wait, do you have these letters?
No, I sent it to the address.
To the
what did you say in the letter? Like, I want to touch your hair.
Like, I'm sure it was just. I'm sure. I don't know. I was in like fifth grade.
Yeah, but what would you say?
Or fourth grade. I don't know, like who. Like,
just wave, man. You're so cool, man. Yeah. I hope when I grow up, man, I'm just like you, cool you dudes, man.
Yeah,
your
did
latex
you write
pants,
Poison?
Man.
I did, but I'll say this: Poison. Poison is the only band that actually sent something back,
like a dick.
What did they
it was,
send you
Brett,
back?
Brett Michaels' lock of hair.
No way. No.
It was like just some like you know I don't know. Our,
dick
here's
dick.
Our
thanks for here, writing
a,
to it.
A list of shit you could buy or whatever, like join our pay for our fan club
our
or something.
Club.
Yeah, but at least they sent something back. Like nobody else. Wait, fucking Axl Rose didn't send anything back. Fuck him. asshole.
Do you think like Vince Neil still has your letter?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he does. He just hasn't gotten around to it.
He just hasn't written you back. It's just covered in cum.
Yeah.
For only $5 a month, you can enjoy these special moments. A bonus news story, extra phone calls, and an hour's worth of outtakes every week at patreon.com/sickandwrong. Sign up today, support the show, and keep it sick and wrong. Don't you ever think of... So for almost 30 years, from 1969 to 1998, Northern Ireland was gripped by violent conflict. And you must know about this because obviously you've lived there during that period. But this period of time is called the Troubles.
The Troubles. I love the fact Troubles. That Ireland sums up like, what, years and generations of like murders, rapes, torture, bombings as just to being like, it's the Troubles.
The Troubles.
The Troubles.
So Republicans wanted an end to British rule. And Unionists and Loyalists wanted to preserve their citizenship and a place in the United Kingdom. So there's a lot of bitterness on both sides.
I mean, also you're forgetting the bitterness goes back to like Oliver Cromwell strolling in when the whole country was under famine and raping them. Then.
Well, yeah. So I think there's unresolved bitterness, but the Troubles was from 69 to 98. It's almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And during that period, almost 4,000 people lost their lives or thousands of people injured. The economic and social fabrics were torn apart across that region. And so a lot of people were convicted of paramilitary offenses at the time and were imprisoned in the hundreds and then eventually thousands. They claimed that since they were soldiers, they should be treated differently than an ordinary, you know, thief or just an ordinary prisoner. And so, you know, most of them were members of the IRA, but then there were a lot of loyalists that were also arrested as well. But both rejected the established prison rules, such as like wearing a uniform and having to like conform to what other, you know, common prisoners did. And they said that criminalized them and their cause. So they objected to doing prison labor. They objected to uniforms. And so they ended up doing a protest, a series of protests and hunger strikes in British prisons. So significant concessions were made on prison rules in the summer of 1972 that conferred special category status on people who had committed crimes of a paramilitary nature, which I kind of find hard to believe because I don't think that would happen here. But they claimed that these inmates who were, you know, part of the IRA or the Loyalist movement, they were political prisoners. Prisoners of war.
Yeah, do political prisoners not get a bit more concessions over here in America? Are you not maybe imprisoned inside the embassy or something?
I think if you're arrested as part of like a paramilitary group, you're in prison with everybody else.
Well, yeah.
But this is, I mean, I don't know about now, but this is like in the 70s. And so at the time when they were in there, you know, they didn't have to wear the uniform that like the common criminals had to wear.
You know, they
didn't have
flares.
To do prison labor. Yeah. They got to wear their little green outfits.
Pot
of gold, you know. But anyway, the UK government decided to withdraw the 1972 privileges from all whose offenses were committed after March 1976. So this meant that Republicans, IRA members, and Loyalists in Northern Ireland's prisons were now going to be treated like common criminals. And they're beholden to all the rules and the laws of every other prisoner in there. So this infuriated them, and this caused them to start striking and band together, like all the paramilitary groups. So you had the Loyalists and you had the IRA all working together to strike against these the UK government for withdrawing these special privileges.
Attica, Attica.
So the protests began in the early 70s. There was a guy named Billy McKee, who was a commander of the Provisional IRA in Belfast. He was arrested for firearms offenses, and he was jailed in Crumlin Road, which is a British prison in northern Belfast. He was outraged that they were treated just as criminals rather than prisoners of war. And so he launched the hunger strike in 1972. They refused food. And that's the thing. This wasn't the first time anyone had ever used a hunger strike as part of a political protest, because Irish dissidents and British suffragettes did this, but no one ever really succeeded.
I mean, I think the only person who famously did the best hunger strike was probably Ian Brady, who spent about 25 years doing a hunger strike.
What year was that, though? Is that the 80s?
Ian Brady, from the minute he went into the fucking the mental hospital until the day he died, was pretty much on a hunger strike.
Well, McKee here was determined, along with the other members of his group here, they refused fluids as well as food.
Well, that's retarded, because you're going to die in 3 days if you don't drink water. Is that what you want for your cause, to be dead? I would also, if I was the prison guard, I would totally walk down like the center, like just eating a packet of Tato crisps and drinking some My Waddy and be like, this fucking My Waddy
just
is
like
fucking
sipping
blowing
it
my
right
mind.
In front of their cells. Yeah. Well, like, by mid-June 1972, McKee and a couple other strikers were in perilous condition. And so what ended up happening is the situation outside the prison. So they didn't really draw that much I mean, there was national attention, but not international attention to the hunger strikes at this point. But the situation outside the prison was changing. So the IRA had launched an intense campaign of violence towards the British in the wake of Bloody Sunday. But they were embarrassed because they bombed the British Army's Aldershot base February 22nd, 1972, and they ended up killing like 5 female cleaners, an elderly gardener, and a Catholic chaplain. No British soldiers.
I mean, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet.
Well, after that, they were a little more amenable to a ceasefire, and they committed to use paramilitary violence only in a defensive capacity.
And well, so that's not true, because my whole childhood was marred by bombs from the IRA.
This was in 1972, and so at this point, McKee and the fellow hunger strikers were close to death, and they decided, at Britain's Secretary of State at the time, Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, William Whitelaw, said, you know what? We're going to grant you special category status again. And okay. So they brought it back. They were eating. So this meant
they're wearing the flares.
This meant that prisoners convicted of these type of offenses were treated in fashion to enemy combatants. They were free to associate with other Republican or Loyalist prisoners. They didn't have to do prison labor. They didn't have to wear a prison uniform. They got additional food and tobacco parcels.
Oh, and what other things that they can?
They
make,
were special,
like files, so they can like get their way out of jail. I've always wanted to like bake a cake with some files in it and give it to a jailbird.
Well, I don't know if they're trying to bust them out, but I think at this point their prison life was a little bit better than it was before, and the fact that Britain was endorsing this whole like special category status here, that kind of meant that they were acknowledging paramilitary volunteers as revolutionaries or freedom fighters, mm-hmm. and not as just violent gangsters or thugs. So, I mean, this kind of like, ameliorated the hunger strikers and the IRA at the time. They're like, oh, that's cool. But then a couple of years later, the situation changed. Merlin Rees, who was appointed, he succeeded Whitelaw as the Northern Ireland Secretary of State. He decided, you know what, we're going to phase out special category status starting in 1976. So as soon as this comes about, anybody who commits an offense after this, even if you think you're paramilitary, no more special privileges for you, son.
Yeah.
So the Provisional IRA condemned the withdrawal of SCS in strong terms once again. They said, we are prepared to die for the right to retain political status. Those who try to take it away must be fully prepared to pay the same price. I would have said it in an Irish accent, but I can't.
I know, I've kind of been losing my... I used to do a very good Irish accent, but...
You actually still can do a pretty decent
one. No, it's not as good as it used to be, and I think everyone in Ireland will attest to how terrible mine is.
So once again, they rescinded special category status, and the Irish were pissed. They're really upset. So the first protest, spark of protests, I guess, the first time they kicked it off again was September 1976, when young Kieran Nugent, 18 years old, was sentenced to Mays Prison for hijacking a van. He was a provisional IRA volunteer, and he was not allowed special category status. So he was ordered to change into a prison uniform. He refused. He told guards, you'd have to nail the clothes to my back. Oof. Can't say, I wish I could speak.
You'll have to fucking
Irish
nail
accent.
The clothes
okay.
to my fucking back,
you do the
so
Irish
you will.
Accent.
Yeah, there we go.
So without other clothing, he just got naked and was just wearing a blanket around. So they called this The blanket protest.
Oh my God. It's like, is this where Michael Jackson got the name for his child from? He like really loves IRA history, Michael Jackson. And he thought, I'm going to salute blanket by naming you blanket.
Yeah, but these guys are a little old to be naked in blankets for Michael Jackson. But by the end of 1976, there are 300 Republican inmates all refusing to wear a prison uniform, hanging out either naked or wrapped in a blanket.
I kind of like this. It's like being in a sauna. Like you're all just in a men's sauna. Maybe you're about to go and get in the plunge pool. Like, you know, they've kept the Roman baths closed and now it's open again. I enjoy this atmosphere.
Well, the prison wardens were not too keen on this blanket protest.
Gay prison,
so they took out all their cell furniture. No more exercise periods. You can just hang out with your buddies there naked in a blanket.
Blanket bros.
So the blanket protests didn't really have much of an effect.
Well, and you'd be cold.
Similar to these kids camping out on the on these college campuses. It's like, I mean, you're getting some media attention now, but nothing's really changing.
At least they're attired out in good, like, outside nightwear provided by mommy and daddy.
True. And probably really nice tents, actually. But the fact of the matter is they're not drawing too much attention to their cause. They're not really making an impact. And so what these Irish soldiers did, or Irish IRA provisional soldiers, they were like, you know what? We're going to have to kick it up a notch to a dirty protest. So in 1978, they refused to leave their cells and they stopped using toilet facilities.
This is very Charles Bronson of them, or it's very Marquis de Sade. Like I'm about to write my next book using my own shit on the wall.
Well, so the wardens were like, you know what? Should we put showers? They were thinking about putting showers in their cells, but then they're like, you know what? No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to put showers in your cells. You got to use community showers and you got to use a toilet like every other prisoner in here.
Right. Yeah.
So the prisoners were like, you know what? Fuck you. And in retaliation, they refused to clean out their cell buckets for human waste. Instead, they smeared urine and shit across the walls of their cells and on themselves.
How many of them got hepatitis or like blood infections? You know, some of them will have got sepsis.
Some of them had to have gotten sick this. So cells were less than 100 square feet. They're tiny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the protesters smeared every hard surface with excrement. And they worked it into it with like particles of rotting food.
Oh, my God.
In the shit. And then urine was used to dilute the mixture so they could spread it better.
See, this is what I mean. I've never cared about anything enough to get myself to the point where I care so much for a cause that I'm willing to forget that I'm like smearing my own fecal matters and piss into a wall. And I'll be like, it's all for the good of the boys. It's all for the good. I would never, never. Come on.
I just love the fact that they're like, you know, we want our extra tobacco. We don't want to wear uniforms.
I want to wear my flares. I've got a really good Jethro Tull t-shirt.
So now they're just hanging around naked in shitty blankets in a cell that's just covered in feces. And so, you know, the stench, I mean, is unimaginable. And they're in this 100 square cell that they shared with a roommate.
And they were roommates.
Yeah, they're cellmates. So there's no cell sanitation. Each performed bodily functions in front of the other.
Oh, my God. I'll shit into your hand, you shit into mine, to me, to you, and then we'll schmear together. They probably schmeared together while holding hands because it's so romantic at this point.
They didn't have beds because all the furniture was removed. So they just had a mattress on the ground.
That they shit on.
Yeah. And the mattress covers were torn apart so they could spread the shit more evenly across the walls.
This kind of sounds like Harrison's house when he was really bad.
So a prisoner at the time of the protest was named Pat McGowan, and he said, there were times when you would vomit. There were times when you were so run down that you would lie for days and not do anything with maggots crawling all over you.
Oh my God.
The rain would be coming in the window and you would be lying there with maggots all over the place.
The Irish are so dramatic.
But they're principled, that's for sure. Committed to their principles. So there were short out of cell periods. So they got a minimum amount of exercise because that's required by law. They also had medically mandated washing. So they would force them to wash, but then
they'd go right back in.
Yeah, but the screws had to wear like hazmat outfits to touch them.
Well, I don't blame them.
And
I
no
would.
One even wanted to go near them.
Yeah, because they might run at you in a Charles Bronson. This feels like something Charles Bronson would have. Not the actor.
The
British prisoner,
yeah.
Whose now name I can't pronounce. Him.
And there were regular tussles, sometimes violent battles with staff. Both sides alleged brutality against the other. So February 1980, so this has been going on for a couple of years already. Well, a group of Republican female inmates held in Armagh Women's Prison decided that they, you know, should also have special category status because they're paramilitary prisoners as well. So they didn't accept prison conditions. And most of them, they were in their early 20s. They stopped washing and they stopped using toilets. They refused to change into clean clothes or accept clean bed sheets from the prison staff. And rather than using the toilets of the jail, they would also smear their own excrement on the cell walls, just grabbing it right from their overflowing chamber pots.
Oh my God, disgusting.
And women have one extra, they have one extra bodily fluid to weaponize.
We do. Throw that in a man's face and he would be... I think
menstrual
a man...
blood.
Yeah, a man would be more upset having period blood thrown in his face than shit.
Well, so they were... At this point they were mixing shit with blood and just spreading that all over the walls of their cells.
You know, liberal arts college women did that and they were like, look at my painting of a tampon that I use my own menstrual blood for. And people buy that. So I would have said, this is art.
So the women were punished for their actions and they were locked in these waste-encrusted cells for 23 hours a day, only 1 hour for exercise. And when they were out, prison authorities would hose down the walls and spray disinfectant. But then as soon as they came back in, they would start shitting and bleeding all over the cells again.
What I would start doing if I was the prison warden, I'd be like, I see what's going on here. I see. So instead of giving like high fiber diets... You're getting like the worst type of diet now so that it produces way less fecal matters. You see where I'm going with this?
Make them constipated.
So it'll make you constipated and you'll maybe have like those little rabbit drop turds. And it's like,
but you can still spread one of those.
I mean, you can spread one, but
just not as much area, not as much surface area.
Yeah, it's not going to be as disgusting.
But what about the blood?
There's nothing you can do for period blood, but period blood is nowhere near as rank as shit.
Well, for 13 months, the young women endured these miserable conditions with only their belief in the cause to sustain them. Like they were that devoted to the cause.
Oh, fuck this. Why? I'd be like, God. And also at this time, if you're like the upper crust of the English elite that you were trying to fight against won't be looking down upon you favorably. Well, they'll be like, this is what we thought you were and this is what you've turned into and we were right all along.
Well, living among their own waste was a sacrifice worth making if it would help to advance the cause of Irish freedom.
Yeah.
See? So a lot of women, though, were concerned about long-term effects. So one prisoner here said, I was most scared about possible vaginal infections, which quite a few suffered from. I mean, we never changed our knickers or jeans. Most of the women wore sanitary towels, but there were no sanitary belts.
So they just held them in between their legs back then because...
They couldn't strap it on.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which is interesting, a sanitary belt.
Yeah.
What did that look like? Was it just a regular belt or was it like a thin thing just to hold the napkin place?
Yeah, it was like a thin kind of harness with snaps. And like, I don't think like sanitary like napkins, like the stick-on kind, even became a thing until like the early 80s.
Oh, the early 80s.
And tampons were also kind of unheard of. I know there's like in an Anais Nin book, she talks about how dancers would cut up bits of sponge and they would use them as like mock tampons. But tampons definitely weren't a thing until like the 80s. 80s was very liberating.
So can you get one of these tampon or sanitary belts on eBay?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. But you're also forgetting that the old sanitary towels and napkins, they were like wearing a nappy. They were like
just
wearing a diaper.
It's like wearing a diaper.
They
like
were huge. Or something. Whereas now, it's like when you get like a sanitary towel.
It's like a pad.
When you get a pad. It's like you can get some pads that are so thin, they just fit in like the palm of your hand.
The problem of not washing during menstruation was solved by changing the Tampax much more frequently than one would outside. So they would give you in the beginning as many sanitary towels, and I guess they did have Tampax then, and Tampax as you wanted. But then after the few weeks into the strike, the nurses came around and were like, you know what? You're only going to get a Tampax on the first day of the month. So the first time, the first day of your period, that's all you're going to get. And you got to choose between a Tampax or a towel.
I know in regular prisons now, especially in American prisons, I can't say for British prisons, but tampons aren't even a thing. You can't
even get a tampon?
No, it's only napkins, sanitary towels.
Would they
packs.
Fashion it to a weapon or something?
Yeah, probably. That's probably why. Whereas now with like the sanitary napkins, but they only give you like so many and it's not enough. It's like kind of a humanitarian issue. Like don't give you enough.
In one of these articles, it was like, actually, there are a lot of like academic journals and theses that were written on
theses.
A lot of graduate students wrote their thesis on the hunger strikes in Ireland. So I was reading one of them. I should probably cite the the origin of this. But anyway, it was the woman was saying that the guards would come around and just unwrap a tampon and just chuck it on the floor that was covered in shit.
Yeah, why not? Because these people are blighting your job. And it's not like fucking the guards gave a shit either.
But I think that's why they would get infections. So this female prisoner here was talking about mealtime in Armagh prison. And she was saying, I can see by her face, like the prisoner officer's face, that the stench in the cell must be pretty bad. Because even through the mask that they wear, you could see her grimace. Ugh. The screw is poured the tea into the cups. I lift them immediately. She won't even touch the mugs, even though she has gloves on. They don't like to touch anything belonging to us. Like, they won't even come near them.
Well, that only makes sense. Everything's covered in shit. I don't want to touch, like I'm not a fucking nurse. I'm like, they're prison guards.
They felt defiled coming in contact with the prisoners. And therefore, as a member of one of the female dirty protests stated, so that became our little weapon.
Well, yeah, it would make you probably feel good to be like, fuck them, fuck the screws.
Well, the defiling of the cells created like a home environment, like a personal space that like the screws, the guards wouldn't even come into.
Yeah.
So you get to like sit in your little palace of shit and blood. So they were willing to settle in for the long game. They're not talking about a couple weeks protests in their tents on the university campus.
They're devoted.
Yeah, they're devoted. They're naked. They're covered in shit. And the women are covered in blood as well. And they're sitting in their 100 square foot cells, willing to wait it out. And months and years of close semi-naked confinement followed. And unlike the blanket protest, which really in the first hunger strike kind of went unnoticed. There wasn't much attention there. The dirty protest, that attracted coverage in the media.
Of course it did.
So by late 1978, the actions of the blanket men were being discussed in the worldwide press, and there are pictures of the blanket men. I'm going to post a couple of the website. This was part due to, I'm going to butcher his name, Thomas O'Fayich, the Catholic Archbishop of Armagh, the later Cardinal of Ireland, who visited the May's protesters. And he said, you know, it's evident that they intend to continue their protests indefinitely. And it seems they prefer to face death rather than to submit to being classified as criminals.
How long, this poses a question though, how long can a human being sit in your own waste products before you do get an infection and die?
They're willing to face death. They're willing to die for this cause.
I mean, dying of sepsis is not a nice death though. They know that, right?
But they say, he said, anyone with the least knowledge of Irish history knows how deeply this attitude is in our country's past.
Oh, the Irish are fucking stubborn, to be sure.
So the situation got way worse. It intensified dramatically after the election of Margaret Thatcher and the Conservatives in May 1979. Thatcher said there's no way she's going to bow to the demands of these paramilitary groups or any of the IRA members. And she refused to consider the restoration of special category status.
Oh, what a bitch. She's also a bitch because she took away my milk. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I think you've talked about it.
Oh, I'll never forgive this cunt for taking my milk.
You've talked about it on the podcast before. But yeah, she like denied kids milk.
She took our fucking milk. And then the Conservatives don't want kids to have fucking school dinners anymore. So not only did they start by taking my milk, which was given to me before a nap time, which I probably fucking needed. And now
calcium for your bones. That's why British people have such brittle bones.
And a terrible teeth. But now they're taking away school dinners from kids who need it most. Fucking Conservatives, like Tory bastards.
So Margaret Thatcher told that it was at a press conference in Dublin in 1979. She said, a crime is a crime is a crime. Murder is a crime. Carrying explosives is a crime. Maiming is a crime. Murder is murder is murder. It's not now and will never be a political crime. So there's no question here of political status.
Just wait until they bomb me while I'm in my sleep in a hotel. And I'll see if I change my mind then.
Well, so now Republican inmates who are already doing their dirty protests were like, okay.
Fuck you.
Yeah, the ones in May's prison here were like, we're going to start a hunger strike then. So this was the second hunger strike that started on October 27th, 1980. Seven people at first, but then later they're joined by others in May's as well as the female prison. And so believing the British were on the brink of conceding, the IRA were like, listen, we're going to keep going with this hunger strike because I think the British eventually, regardless of what Margaret Thatcher has said in her press conference, they're not going to let these people just die in prison.
Do you know what? I wish I kind of had the willpower to do a hunger strike because I never could. I would be there being like, yes, boys, I'm totally with you. And then I would just go to my corner of the shit room and I'd be eating some I'd be eating a pack of potatoes. Like, there's no way I could like stick it out.
I mean, I don't think I could sit in a room covered in shit either.
And not eat. It's like your one pleasure that you have left.
Well, I think what the thing is the IRA was kind of like calling England's bluff, like the British government's bluff at this point. Because, I mean, there was national attention at this point, even international attention. People were aware that these Irish prisoners were starving themselves to death and sitting in cells covered in shit. So there was pressure on Thatcher and the Conservatives that were in power to be like, listen, maybe we should try to work this out a bit. So the IRA is like, yeah, let's just keep going with this hunger strike. And so at this point, the instigator was a guy named Bobby Sands, which you might have heard of his name. Yeah, he's pretty famous. I mean, this guy was intelligent. He was literate. He was a writer of Republican essays and songs. And he became, during the hunger strike, the commander of the provisional IRA inmates in the maze. So he began the hunger strike March 1st, 1980, refused any food until SCS privileges are restored. And so Republican groups at that point nominated Bobby Sands as a candidate in their upcoming elections, also designed to attract media coverage. And despite being behind bars, he won the seat.
Good for
with
him.
A narrow margin, yeah. In doing so, he became Westminster's youngest member of parliament. So unionists were outraged by this election and condemned nationalist parties like the Social Democratic and Labour Party for handing a parliamentary seat to a convicted terrorist.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
So what ended up happening is Westminster passed the Representation of the People Act, which prevented prison inmates from voting or standing in an election after that.
Unlike America, where soon-to-be convicted criminals. Yeah,
you can run for president yeah. if you're being charged for a crime. But it didn't matter at that point to Bobby Sands because he died on May 5th after 66 days without food.
Yeah, he's like a martyr to some people for sure.
He was the first of 10 Irish Republican prisoners to die during the hunger strike. Seven of the dead were IRA volunteers, while three belonged to the Irish National Liberation Army, the INLA, which was an offshoot of the IRA, much more radical.
Yeah, yeah.
And so three of them died as well. So all of them were aged between 24 and 30.
Things must have changed since then, though, because I know when Ian Brady had gone so far with his hunger strikes and like all of this, they would just take him to the hospital and force food down his throat, like, you know, in a tube and stuff. So things must have changed, like, humanitarian wise from that point to when Ian Brady was actually no, because Ian Brady was locked up by this point. What the fuck am I talking about?
Yeah. Ian this Brady is 1979, 1980.
Since then.
Well, so media coverage and responses to this hunger strike were intense. A lot of people were upset. The British press pilloried Thatcher for refusing to concede to the terrorists, even though they prepared to starve themselves to death. And so because of this, British authorities eventually restored most of the SCS privileges in late 1981.
Well, why weren't they just shoving tubes down their throats? Why wouldn't that be the way to stop them from dying? That's the way I would go with it. I'd be like, send them to the hospital and force food down their throat.
I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe they didn't do that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But the provisional IRA condemned Thatcher's cold-blooded determination to watch men die over a point of principle.
I know, that's why she's a bitch.
And they criticized her and her government for their handling of the hunger strike.
As if the Tories gave a single shit about any of these people.
Well, you know, her handling of the strike motivated their attempt to assassinate her in Brighton, October 1984.
They were very close, and it changed her for the rest of her life.
They were very... Were they trying to bomb her?
Like, was she was staying in a hotel. I'm not sure which hotel it is. I should know the story better. But they were just so close. She nearly did. It's kind of like Hitler with that bombing, like, you know, the beer hall bombing, and like just nearly would have worked and would have killed her.
What if it was a child that put the bomb in? It was like, this is because the milk, bitch.
You know what? That could have been me. And children have littler hands.
You were born in 1984.
Children have littler hands. So it probably would have been better for sneaking the bomb in. And I agree with this. Although children do have stickier hands. So it might have been harder for the child to put the bomb down.
So Bobby Sands' death received significant attention worldwide. And his funeral was attended by 100,000 people.
Oh, yeah, because as if Bobby knew 100,000 people, you'd have been going to them.
No, but he was a martyr for the cause.
I know, but you would have gone to this funeral because you love funerals. You'd have been like, I'm here for you, Bobby.
I would have gone for the lulz.
Yeah.
And to pick up chicks with principles. But like Bloody Sunday, his death triggered a surge in the level of violence and an increase in provisional IRA enlistments. And after a period of relative calm, they returned to targeting security forces in Northern Ireland, killed 26 British soldiers in a 7-month period. So, but the fact of the matter is they were able to restore their SCS privileges. So that's a thing. By employing different tactics and maintaining pressure, sticking your guns in, like for the long haul, they secure the restoration of these privileges. I mean, especially after all this, national attention from the deaths of these Republican hunger strikers. But that's the thing. They made what was, they made this dirty protest that most people would never even think about, taking shit and rubbing it all over the walls. And that's what I'm saying about that's what I'm saying about these kids. Right now, they're just sitting there in their, expensive tents that their parents bought them, like entitled little, liberal arts college students, protesting for a cause, wearing their keffiyehs, like their Che Guevara shirts. And they're sitting there, with their cause. They're going to be ignored. Nothing's going to happen when school stops, in a couple weeks, school ends. Graduation happens. There's nothing else to disrupt. Maybe summer classes, but that doesn't even really matter. The media cycle is going to move. It's going to turn away. Right now is a time for themselves to take action, cover themselves in shit, cover guns, their tents in shit. Maybe even do a hunger strike. Stop eating or just eat shit. you have a weapon that women can start guns. Using their menstruation. They can start using blood. No cop is going to come and take your tent down if it's covered in shit. Who's gonna touch that?
Well, they already do with the homeless here. But what's funny is you say that it's like, oh, I know plenty of people who work in nut houses where, shit is weaponized on the daily by crazy people.
But not by college students. And so I'm saying they could kick this protest up a notch. If they're really serious about this, they're really serious about this cause, be as serious as an Irishman.
What about a gun that fires only turds?
I guess you can make a turd gun, but I think once you start bringing out guns, then you might get shot by the police.
It's like a potato gun, right? It's like a
Then it's a weapon. Like I think what you need to do is just throw lobs of shit at the cops. Anything like cover yourselves in shit. You're not going to get arrested because no one's going to want to touch you.
We're also talking about very privileged kids who will have a great diet, no doubt. Like they're definitely smooth. Like these kids nowadays, they don't drink. They don't really smoke. They'll vape, but they don't really smoke,
They eat a lot of Taco Bell, though.
They eat a Taco Bell. Lot of roughage.
So a lot of fuel there.
They're on these $20 fucking Hailey Bieber smoothies. They're regular, these kids.
I mean, they already have media coverage. I'm not trying to be crass here. They already have media coverage. So what they need to do is get global media coverage. That's not going to end in a month when the media cycle moves on. They're not going to move on if it's a dirty protest. They're going to be talking about the hunger strike and the dirty protest for months.
Okay, let's go with it.
So that's what I'm saying.
I double dog dare any of them to start a protest. I'm sure they're all listening to this show because they must be bored as shit.
Well, that's the thing with the IRA. They acquired followers of their cause. They got sympathizers to their cause and their reputation of self-sacrifice. So let's see if these students can follow. Let's see if you can put your money where your mouth is.
Before we move on, I have to say this. On the day-to-day, there's a very funny Alan Partridge, Steve Coogan joke where he's pretending to be the leader of Sinn Féin at the time, but he's Sinn Féin on helium. And he just has a great, great quote where he goes, "My tone is antagonistic and very angry." Thank you. I just wanted to do that. People who have watched the day-to-day will know what I'm talking about. Thank you. Goodbye.
Did he participate in a dirty protest?
Steve Coogan's kind of sexy, and I could actually see him fucking a woman up the ass very easily. Yes.
Oh, people, it's episode 943 here of Sick and Wrong. We got some phone calls coming up. 323-522-4032 is that number. But first, here's a quick message from Adam and Eve.
Hey, guys. It's me, Stephen. I'm a huge fan of your show. Thanks to your awesome coupon code, Diddle, I can buy myself loads of good sex toys. Since both of my wives died, and my Lou Gehrig's disease got pretty bad. Let's just say things in the bedroom got pretty boring. But thanks to AdamandEve.com and coupon code Diddle, D-I-D-D-L-E, I am now a new man. Thanks.
Just charge your power up at your dream, and now we are full of energy.
So we got a few phone calls here from the same person. Hot Elizabeth Short calls in.
Nice. She is hot.
I know. I think she called in. What she likes to do is she likes to get really drunk. She must have us like in her phone because she calls the Cigarron hotline really wasted and doesn't even remember calling.
That's what the hotline's for, though.
Well, so this time she called and kind of went on a bit of a rant. Forgot that she even called. And then her sister called her and was like, hey, you called me out of the blue. This is weird. And then she was like, I wonder if I called anyone else. And then she realized she called the Cigarron hotline, but doesn't remember what she said. So I'm going to play the drunk call first, and then we'll play her calling back and talking about it. So here's the drunk call from Hot Elizabeth Short.
Hey, it's Hot Elizabeth Short. Fuck everything about being a parent of a teenager and fuck teenage boys. This sucks. I just wanted everybody to know how much it sucks being a parent
of a teenage
boy.
She sounds wasted.
I'm sure there's so many parents who are like, I agree.
Yeah, like we fully agree with you. Preach to the choir here.
Parent of a teenage girl. And how they hate you, blah, 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 blah. I would rather somebody hate me than the bullshit that I've been put through with a teenage boy.
How many kids does she have?
Well, she's obviously got a girl and a boy. I don't know.
But are they both teens? I thought she seems so young. She just sounds so young.
She is. She has like a young voice.
So I wonder if she had these kids when she was like 20 and like in her early 20s.
Yeah, maybe. That's usually the age most people have kids, you know.
Well, not now. I think now it's like, I think now it's early 30s, but they used to in the early 20s.
Oh, they used to back in Shakespearean days.
Back in like even my time, like when I was graduating college, I think people still had kids in their early 20s. But I think now
the
common time is the early 30s.
Yeah, but I still know lots of people who had kids in their early 20s. And it kind of makes sense because your body's so fucking virile. Female bodies want to get pregnant in your early 20s.
I think it's just
you can bounce back.
I think you're traditionally you're supposed to, but I think now it's like it's just difficult.
I mean, you got to get them all out so you can get them on farm day.
Yeah, but I think now it's difficult because it's like you can't afford to raise them at 22.
Oh, aye, but you still need the little tiny hands up farm.
The hands up farm?
The hands on farm. Aunt farm day, aunt.
I'm not quite sure of this English Onda. Cumbrian language you speak.
O-N apostrophe T, aunt.
So on the farm.
Essentially, I. Aunt
okay.
farm.
I guess if you own a farm, it's good to have kids at a young age so you can get them aunt farm.
Thank you.
Anyway, if you want to know more about that, shoot me a message. Kate, you know my handle? Or
I do. Message
me. Give me a call or just like ask me some more questions about it. But
yeah, I really want to learn more about being a parent of a teenager.
I want to know, like, see, in my mind, like, teenage girls are very explosive and angry. There's so many hormones. Same with teenage boys. But to me, teenage boys just go inside their room and create a cesspit of, like, hate. Like, they're just in their rooms hating everything. And if you're like, you know, you used to be such a lovely young boy, Daniel. We used to go to the zoo together, and I've not heard you laugh in months. And he'll be like, fuck off. That's my impression of a teenage boy. Like, Kevin. Kevin and Perry. Do you remember Kevin and Perry? Was that a thing in America?
Kevin and Perry.
British people know what I'm talking about. Kevin and Perry. Kevin is what a teenage boy should be. And that's, in my mind, what teenage boys still are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I was ever like an emo teenage boy.
Oh, you were lovely. Like,
yeah, I wasn't that bad. But my brother was bad. He was a very difficult kid.
Having a 14-year-old fucking son fucking blows.
He's only 14.
Donkey dick. And I fucking hate it. And I love my son so much. And I love him. I don't know. I wish that he knew how much I love him, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't know that I love
he
him.
He does. He knows.
And I don't know. Just having a teenager is the worst fucking feeling and the worst fucking experience. And just don't have kids if you ever want to have a teenager. And guess what? If you have kids, you're going to have a teenager. And it's just like the worst.
She's great.
Teenagers suck. That is all.
You know, I totally want to pull a Dr. Phil here. And have her on and her son, and we can get to the bottom of this discontent.
You know, I always think about growing old, and especially as a person who's never going to have children, so I kind of have like a bit more leniency. I remember what it's like to be a teenager, and I think when you get older and forget what it's like to be a teenager, you've become old, and being a teenager fucking sucks. It just super sucks. So I would kind of be like, just give your kid a bit more patience.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure she is anyways, but I would just be like, don't try and rule with an iron fist type of thing. But also don't let them. It's a hard edge to walk because you can't let them.
It does kind of suck being a teenager, but there are a lot of plus. There's a plus side to it. There's a lot of pluses.
You don't have to work.
You don't have to work.
Although
you get free food. Yeah, but you don't have to work to live.
No,
like you could get a job at like, you know, a fucking movie theater and you get free food. You know, your parents usually even give you money for like a car.
Well, your typically. Parents will buy all your purchases.
You get free rent. You live for free. It's like, I don't know, man. I mean, as soon as you start living on your own, you got to deal with
but
shit.
But you don't realize that when you're a teenager, though. You don't think about shit like insurance and boring crap like that. And you shouldn't have to think about that because you're a teenager.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that bad. But then you got to deal with high school, which does suck.
Yeah.
So Hot Elizabeth Short calls in. She has her little rant. I do wonder if her kid listens to this podcast because that could be embarrassing.
Oh my God, no. She should totally let her 14-year-old. This is a great podcast for 14-year-olds to listen to.
So she calls in and she goes on a drunken rant. A couple days later, finds out that she called sick and wrong and then she calls back.
Hello. This is the Hot Elizabeth Short.
She sounds much chipper.
I just wanted to say that the anticipation for Monday school is killing me. Because I have no idea what the fuck I said, what the fuck the situation was before, or even that I called, because my sister this morning said, hey, sorry I missed your call on Monday, and I didn't even know I called anybody other than my husband later in the evening. And then, I guess about 10 minutes after that, just everything went blank. Anywhoozle. Hopefully the call's not too embarrassing, and you guys talk to me about it.
Any whoozle.
The reason anticipation is killing me is because I asked you about it, and you haven't responded.
I'm going to start saying cool beans and any whoozle.
The reason why I'm calling now is because I just wanted to say that I am allergic to every fucking pet, like all the cats, all the dog, all of the birds. I'm not allergic to reptiles, but they're a lot of work, and my husband, I guess, just doesn't want them, and I'm also very terrified of snakes. However, I just adopted 2 guinea pigs while my husband was away for a week, and he's not going to be back until Saturday, and today is Wednesday.
Aren't you allergic to guinea pigs?
Yeah.
They have fur.
They have fur. So if you're not allergic to guinea pigs, that means you're not allergic to like rabbits. And then I would go, rats are a cool pet. I loved my pet rats, although one was evil and it bit out the throat of my favorite one.
Well, that's terrible. Yeah. I actually had a guinea pig.
Oh, I love this pet. Story.
Yeah,
are you gonna
Zach,
tell this story?
Zachariah. I had this this guinea pig and my dad, the rabbi, found it hilarious. I would have been 13 or... No, I would have been like 14 or 15.
So you just moved here from South Africa.
Yeah, and I got for Hanukkah, my dad got me a guinea pig after like badgering on my part. He did not want to get the guinea pig.
Oh, you were super far.
I really wanted the guinea pig
what
for some
color
reason.
Was Zachariah?
It's black and white.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this guinea pig's going to be so cool. I don't know why I had my mind set on a guinea pig, but I'm also one of those people who've had a lot of weird pets. I still have a weird pet.
Yeah.
You know, and so my father, he used to find it hilarious I even got this thing. So I got this guinea pig. He got me the guinea pig for Hanukkah. I probably had it for maybe 3 or 4 months before I fucking hated it.
Poor little Zachariah is just a guinea pig.
Oh, God, that guinea pig sucked.
That's false.
It sucked. What? I don't know if you ever had one.
Guinea pigs don't suck. I know they're nocturnal. They're like hamsters and chinchillas.
So all night, it would just pound on its metal tray, wanting food all night. You let it out, it would run around just shitting, like Pac-Man, just shitting, like little pellets everywhere.
What did you expect? It's a guinea pig.
Rats are cooler than guinea pigs.
Rats also do the same type of stuff.
Yeah, they don't shit like that.
Yes, they do. Rats shit everywhere.
Oh, God, it was terrible. This fucking thing. And it was like, it was kind of mean, too. It wasn't that friendly.
You didn't like to be touched.
You
know why? It's because you only got one, and guinea pigs are social, and they need to have two. If you'd have got another guinea pig, then it would have been a lot quieter, a lot more, because he was lonely. You got a very lonely guinea pig.
Maybe that thing sucked. So anyway, I didn't want it anymore. Didn't want it anymore. And my mother, like when I forget what she was working at the time. It was like the Volunteer Action Center. She was the director of the Volunteer Action Center. And one of these volunteers, or she had volunteers that helped this like poor family that lived down the street. And this kid was like a year or two younger than me. I think he was like in seventh grade. His name is Brad. And he was a nice kid. They were, you know, I think that there was no father and it was just a single mother. And they lived in like a garage pretty much.
Oh, so it's like Bill in Freaks and Geeks. Was his mom hot?
No. And she had like two other kids. The dad just bailed on them, or the dad was in prison. I forget. But anyway, they didn't have that much money. And my mom would like sometimes like have people volunteer to give them charity and like help out with just like, you know, home improvement stuff and things like that. And I knew the kid just from being in the neighborhood because he wasn't that, he lived like maybe like, I don't know, half a block away. So anyway, my mom was just like, why don't you give the guinea pig to Brad? And I was like, no, I'm going to sell it. And she's just like, no, you should give it to Brad. That's a mitzvah.
That's what I said. It's very Jewy of you to sell a guinea pig.
Well, I just got the thing and I was like, I'll get like, you know,
David,
$50 for it.
You can't give your guinea pig to a lower income family because they'll eat it.
Well, I didn't think about that.
What if they're going to eat it?
I should have thought about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I ended up being like, okay, fine. And I gave the kid my guinea pig. And I brought the guinea pig and the cage and everything over there. And I remember the kid's mother, and the kid was excited. He was like, oh my God, thank you. This is one of the best things I've ever got. And the mom was just like, thank you so much. Like, you know, his birthday's coming around. I don't really have enough money to afford a gift for him. And, you know, this is just great that you would do this. And my mom's like, I remember my mom's like, doesn't that make you feel better? And I was like, no, I would have rather had the $100 or whatever.
You cannot sell a guinea pig for $100.
For the whole cage and everything?
Nobody's
paying at least
$100 for a fucking guinea pig.
Maybe I could have made $50, but whatever. But anyway, I was just like, sure. You know, I think I did a mitzvah. I find out less than a week later, that fucking kid sold that guinea pig.
For $100.
For $100. Yeah, I heard it. He was talking about it.
Oh, you know what's really sad, though? He didn't sell the guinea pig. His mother sold that guinea pig.
Well,
it's like Billy Cook, my favorite serial killer, who all he wanted in his childhood was a bike. And 5 times he got a bike, and 5 times his foster family then sold the bike on.
I'm not sure about that, because that kid was rocking a new pair of high tops.
Oh my God, I feel so sorry for little Zachariah. What happened to him?
I don't know, but I remember being like, you little fuck. Like, are you really poor? I'm beginning to, like, I see through your ruse.
You know what?
Fooling me.
We have room on the balcony to get a little guinea pigs.
We're not getting a guinea
pig. I
mean,
I don't particularly like them, but I feel very sorry for this story. We could get a little guinea pigs and a little rabbits, and they could be best friends.
We're going to hard pass on that. No guinea pigs.
Can we get a bird?
No guinea pigs, no birds.
We're getting a bird.
I sent him pictures of his new kids after, like, several voices.
Gotta be so pissed if I was her husband.
Several messages. Talking about how I wanted the guinea pigs. Talking about how there was a Facebook post saying that they were giving away guinea pigs. And he just ignored me the whole time. And then after I had already accepted said guinea pigs, he said, no. No, I'm going back to sleep.
Good for him. Put your foot down.
No, good for you.
Foot is down.
No, good for you, hot Elizabeth Shaw. I'd have been like, firstly, you don't control me. And secondly, they're my guinea pigs. And I would name the guinea pigs both after him.
You know what I'd do if I was her husband? I'd be like, you're not getting any sex.
And I'd be like, thank God.
You were denied sex.
Oh, God, this is exactly what I want to hear.
Until you move past this guinea pig.
For this whole year.
You were denied sex. No. I'm going on a strike.
What a loss.
No sex strike.
So I might be in trouble. Said, no. Just no, I'm going back to sleep. And I said, too bad? With a question mark? So I might be in trouble. But I have two guinea pigs now, and they're really fucking adorable. So, yeah.
What are their names? What colors are they?
I have two guinea pigs, and I'm not sure how my husband's going to feel about it. But I've been doing lots of research, and they're really sociable and adorable and super not simple to take care of, but, like, easiest to take care of. Kind of, like, cat-esque. To take care of, just without all the allergies, and I'm super excited, and my two kids are super excited, and I just can't tell them that their dad said no after I already told both of them multiple times that we were getting said guinea pigs, and that's just not fair to them.
It's not fair to
them. Anyway, yeah. I guess I'll tell you next time about...
Wait, she does have part two because she got cut off. If I was a husband at this point, I would get a ball python, a really large ball python.
David, no, I know where this is going, and that's horrible.
And just be like, oops,
no,
sorry.
I would totally be like,
we can have sex now. Don't worry, my bad. We can have sex now.
Kids, we've got these two adorable... guinea pigs that we've named Sid and Nancy, and these two guinea pigs are in love.
Great name for guinea pigs.
Very good names for them, and we all love them as a family. We love them, but Papa says no. And in fact, Papa says that they have to be sold to the slaughterhouse. They're going to be made into cat food. So, you know, why don't you go to the slaughterhouse with Papa, who wants to get rid of Sid and Nancy, who are just in need of a good home. You two go with him. He's going to teach you a life lesson. And remember, it's Papa who's doing this, not me, Mama, who loves you. Thank you.
I would be like, and here's our ball python.
What's a good name for Luther? Ball? Peter.
Luther.
Leaf is a good, yeah, Luther.
This is Luther, and he's the ball python. And I don't know what happened to those guinea pigs. They were here yesterday.
And he's got two guinea pig shaped lumps in him, and he's slivering around.
This is Hot Elizabeth Short again. Sorry. I got cut off for the first time in a while. I usually get cut off. This is great. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So my kids love the guinea pigs, and for fuck that, I'm not going to fucking give the guinea pigs back.
Dumb.
Like, you should have, my husband, should have told me way sooner that you didn't want said guinea pigs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if I should feel bad for it or not.
Don't feel bad. They're yours. They're your children.
As always, love you guys. Love the podcast. And fuck you guys. I live in LA and you should come to the fucking Los Angeles Bay regions and come hang out. What's especially that? At Brewery West.
Where?
It's fucking awesome.
The Bay
and
region?
I can walk there. And I'm not saying anymore because I don't want to geolocate myself. Anyway, have a great day.
You know, we should, there's a lot of LA fans, actually. There's a lot of LA listeners. And I'm thinking we should probably do a meetup here.
Yeah, we should do like a West Hollywood meetup, but then find out where the Bay Area is.
I don't even know where the Bay LA area is. I'm not even sure where that is, but maybe we could do a meetup that's kind of equidistant to some people and we could all kind of hang out and get drunk. I'm not sure exactly how many LA listeners we have, but I know there's a few just from, you know,
people
download, like the geographical data with downloads. Liz Short, yeah, I feel for your husband here. He's going to come back and get this rude surprise that now you get two guinea pigs.
Boo-hoo to him. Boo-hoo to him.
I hope he gets a ball python.
Her kids have also been denied having a pet because she's so allergic. So now they've all found a family pet that she's not allergic to. I would be overjoyed as a child. And then if Papa came home and said, I'm not having it, like there would be like tears at midnight. I would never stop crying for little Sid and Nancy / Zachariah and Zebulon. I don't know what's a good name for a female guinea pig.
If I was the husband, I would do a dirty protest here.
Really?
It would be dirty. Really dirty.
Is that going to be your thing now? Like whenever I do anything, can you disagree with it? You're just going to be like, well, it's dirty protest time. Because you also use a fucking full harvest moon as a...
As a threat.
As a threat.
Yeah.
So this is just one step above from a harvest moon.
Don't threaten me with a good time. Anyway, people, call the Sigron hotline 323-522-4032 or just send us an MP3, sigronpodcast@gmail.com. We do love to hear from you. Also, big ups to all the listeners who support us on Patreon and Apple Podcasts. You are the ones that keep the show going. Patreon.com/sickandwrong. Also, you can listen to the second show I'm talking about. We discuss the response I got from our TeePublic account rep after I sent her a couple suggestions for some t-shirt concepts. Yeah. You can kind of listen to her response on the second show. But as for right now, we do have a lot of merch available at the TeePublic store. Just go to sickaroundpodcast.com/shop and click on the picture of the Pope. Finally here, Sick and Wrong Song of the Week. Had to find something that was kind of topical and that fit with the...
Gigi Allen.
That wasn't Gigi Allen. Like, fit with the subject of the show, but not Gigi Allen because it's too obvious.
Yeah, well, like, we are Gigi Allen fans as much as anyone can be a fan of Gigi Allen. But
Gigi Allen is like the personification of a dirty protest.
Yeah, if whenever you associate shit throwing with music, it's Gigi Allen.
Gigi Allen comes to
there
mind.
There is only Gigi.
However, this punk rock band from Scotland called Oi Polloi actually wrote a song called Dirty Protest that came out in 2016 on an album called the Siursa. So they were an Oi band originally, but now they're kind of like anarcho-punk.
They're like a Bannerman's bar band. Edinburgh people know.
Yeah, they're from Edinburgh originally. Yeah. And they're kind of like, I guess the band's notable for their contributions to the Scottish Gaelic punk subgenre, which is very specific.
There's like two bands. And they both are rocking it.
The Scottish Gaelic punk bands, you know, woo, ride that rocket.
Woo.
But this band, Oi Polloi, has gone through 50 members since their formation, and the only permanent member is the vocalist.
And that's why they're a Bannerman's bar band.
And he runs, I guess, has several programs on Gaelic language television.
Oh, so he's like a full-on can speak Gaelic and everything. Yeah. I actually didn't know that.
So anyway, we're going to end the show here with Dirty Protest by Oi Polloi. People will be back next week with episode 944. Till then, take it sleazy. We'll be right back.
us all time and take a bunch of fucking screws. Dirty protest, dirty protest, this is dirty protest. Dirty protest, dirty protest, this is dirty protest.
I have absolutely no respect for them, you know, in any context. Even a dog or a cat will keep itself clean. A dog or a cat won't even live in its own shit. It had to come to that stage where the dirt in the cells was actually walking about. We know that unofficially, the health officials approached the Northern Ireland office and said, well, you better do something about this, otherwise these three blocks will have to close down. Now, being loyal prison officers, we didn't want this to happen. The Northern Ireland office have been very, very lucky they haven't had an epidemic down there. Very, very lucky.